morning's message.
Woe unto you, Tyre. Oh, will Jesus save you? That's the thing about it. We have to wonder. We talked about in the past the Philistines, the Edomites, the Moabites, different nations and things. You see it sprinkled throughout the Old Testament. Well, God's objective is to save the Gentiles also. Gentiles will be saved. They're not going to be the same as they was, just like God's people. They're not going to be the same as they were. They're going to be a converted people. So you'll have Moabites in the new kingdom, but they won't be that, a Moabite. They'll be a child of God. You'll have Israelites. They won't be Israelites. They'll be children of God. Those were just types and shadows. Just as you'll have them in the kingdom of God, you'll have Philistines, you'll have the people from Tyre in the kingdom of God. God takes a remnant from all people. He wanted such that to be saved is all people. He wanted all people to be saved. So as we're looking at Ezekiel here, he's preaching to his people that came out of captivity that was obedient to him. Now notice that he had destroyed the chosen people. He destroyed Israel and Judah. He caused them because in the New Testament we see where some of the church, some of the children of the kingdom will be cast out. So that kind of clears our mind to he's not just talking about the Israelites, God's chosen people. They're no different from a Moabite. If you look at it, they were the same as the Moabite. They were, Abraham is an Arab. Abraham is an Arab. The only thing that made him an Israelite of the Jewish thing was the circumcision. A change, that's what God does. He changes us. So no nation as it is today will make it into the kingdom of God. There has to be a death to self, a death to who you are. This nation, we will parallel that this morning with Tyre, United States. One of the worst nations ever existed, one of the most brutal, hostile nations. That's what Babylon was, one of the most brutal, hostile nations. But what did he tell the people of the captives that he sent to Babylon? He said, pray for the peace of the nation. We should be praying for the peace of our communities, our state, of our nation, of this nation. But as it exists, there's no such thing as United States is a much better nation than any of the rest of the nation. They all part of the world. God has to destroy it all. It's like that the Joker said on that Batman when Heath Ledger was playing a part of a Joker. The Joker, and all of the money, all of the stuff they had, he was pouring gasoline and stuff on it to set it up because he said, it's all got to burn. It all has to burn. This world is passing away. The earth and there, all that's in it, this world is passing away. So the money, the material things, whatever is in this earth, it has to pass away. The only thing that's going to abide is the Word of God. And unless we are in the Word of God, we shall not abide. So he's preaching to, Ezekiel here is preaching to the captives that are in Babylon, that what their purpose is, what they should be doing. We start off with who? Who is this message to? He's not talking to Tyre. He's talking to the captive. He's talking to Israel. In other words, he's talking to the people that were obedient to him that came out of captivity, that were in captivity. But you still have to carry forth God's purpose, his life. When we come out of the world, as I was telling the sister this morning, you still have to uphold the blood-stained banner. No matter how hard people try to make you mad, you still have to display the characteristics of Christ. You have to still be, it's going to get rougher. And I tell you, sometime when it's getting rougher, you can say, God's got something close from me, and the devil is trying to get that away from me. So he was telling the captives in Israel, you can't be as these people are, because I'm going to destroy them all, and I'm destroying them all, and we'll be under Tyre. Because when you was having your hardships and problems, it says Ezekiel 26, 1 through 3, and it came to pass in the 11th year, in the first day of the month, that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, because that Tyrus had said against Jerusalem, She is broken, that was the gates of the people. She is turned unto me. I shall replenish. Now she is laid waste. He was destroying Tyre at the same time he was destroying his own people, Jerusalem. People of the world are perishing right now along with the people of God. A lot of holy people are leaving out of here. It happens to them all. But some have a different eternal destiny. God could destroy the wicked and the righteous. Some of those won't make it through. But that's our end. At least their end. But those that are born again have another life to live. So that's why I say you have to stay in character. You have to stay who and what God created you. This was to show the people of Israel that he were talking to that they still have to be that light. They have to preach in Babylon. They have to teach in Babylon. They have to live according to God's people that should live. That's how we should be living in this world. Sanctified, set apart, holy. And that's what we should be if we're the children of God. No matter how this world is, you remember in the sermon that I say, we still have to stay above the turbulence. We have to stay above the freight. We have to, when cursed, when troubled, persecuted, whatever come our way, we blessed, we don't curse. We don't get down and strive and argue with the opponent. We don't become as our adversary does. Who is he talking to? Tyre. Tyre could be like the United States. Tyre could be like Russia. It could be Germany. It could be any nation. And the reason I say especially United States and Britain, because those are the leading merchandisers. Tyre was a city of merchandise. They were merchandisers. They wasn't a city of war. We have a common nation here in the United States. It's a military nation also. This nation is also a military. But it falls succinctly into this category of being a merchant nation. In other words, merchandise, selling and trading, colonization. That's all Tyre would do. So we can't exclude. That's why we have to look back at the Old Testament and see us ourselves. But those that come in with that good old American pride, just like the candidate for president, that's a voice of an antichrist. It's trying to get you to think materially about being rich, about achieving material wealth without any principles, without any regard. He's saying anything about everybody, any certain things, just because something crossed your mind and your thoughts. You can't say everything that come into your mind. You can't speak everything that's in line, not in line with Bible study we did Wednesday night, the pulling down of strongholds. You have to bring every thought into captivity and obedience of Jesus Christ. You can't say everything that comes in your mind. You can't just call people any kind of names or denigrate people. There's a certain way that we have to walk. So that's the old man that wants to get in that category to argue and dispute. The disputers of this world, the prideful of this world. So you need to be aware of that. But like I said, among those of Phoenicia, in that's where Tyre was in the Phoenicians, and they were great transporters, sea-going people. But among them also was people that would probably be in the kingdom of God that were much better than some of the people of God. There are many people that are out there in the world. They're not wicked people. They just don't know God. We need to introduce them to God. We need to be that light so they can see it. David was a man of God, and people can see the anointing upon David's life. You look in Samuel, 1 Samuel, the 5th chapter and the 11th verse, 2 Samuel, 5th chapter and the 11th verse, you'll find out that Hiram was from Tyre. Hiram was a man of great wealth. He was one of the kings of Tyre. He gave David this labor. The labor he contributed, the labor to the building of the kingdom of God, the house of God. He contributed the manpower, the material. His people are the ones that got all the timber that David used in building the kingdom, building God's house that, you know, Solomon did it, but he stored this up because he was a follower and he knew that God was with David. There's a lot of people that don't go to church, that live in your community where they're watching you, their eyes are on you. That's why we have to conduct ourselves as Jesus would at all times. We're encompassed about by such a great cloud of witness, we have to be careful how we run this race. That's why the voice of the church should go out through all the world. And as a witness, the gospel brings light to those that are seeking the truth. That brought light to Hiram to see David operate in this manner. I gave you a list of comments there that came from sermon audio. That's part of our missionary program. In other words, we put the gospel online. And with our online gospel, it goes into all different countries. I didn't give you that to show you which countries it goes throughout. This program goes throughout the United States to those that are seeking the truth. The truth is like the X-Files. It's out there. You just have to find it. The comments from this gentleman he lives in Deerfield, Florida. It's four of the sermons that he had listened to in a row, and he was talking about the doctrine and some of the things for this end time. That's why we have to be in our community talking God, talking the things of the end time, talking with the Bible. He didn't save you to sit home and watch your television. He didn't save you to feud with the people around you. He saved you to be a light, to help others. To, he says, go out and you are my witnesses. Go out and preach and teach the gospel to all nations. He said, all nations. Don't say, well, he's a Moabite. He's a Philistine. He's a Mexican. He's this nationality. No, he said to all people, because God's going to save all men. All men. In other words, people from each nation, each nationality. Within each nation and nationality, you have the filth of those nations and nationalities. Like, that's what I said about the United States. You have some of the worst people in the churches in here in the United States. Just like in Spain or any other place, that's one of the places that Tarshish had. That's where Tarshish was, where Jonah fled from, where Tyre helped establish Tarshish in Spain. But you have people like Hiram. So you can't stereotype any particular race. Last week, Julian Bond died, one of the great civil rights fighters. And you'll notice throughout the nation, if you go through the communities and things, you'll see upright standing Hispanics, blacks, Caucasians, Chinese, Vietnamese, straight, whatever nationality, creed that they are, whatever religion and perspective they are, you'll see these people. So it ain't a particular people group. It's who God reveals himself to. So that's what we're about, to be lights unto the people. Solomon's, David's son, he was one of those that was worldly. That's a son that sometimes you don't... It didn't seem like David really wanted to make Solomon king. But Solomon had earthly wisdom. This same Hiram, when dealing with Solomon, him and Solomon started the rift that broke Tyre away from the friendship with the Israel, with God's people. Because Solomon was much like a lot of people in the church today, much like a lot of people in the United States today, in Louisiana, in Baton Rouge, that they were for greed and for themselves. Hiram had did all this for Solomon. Solomon gave him five of the worst cities there was. He called them Kabul. In other words, dog cities, some of the worst of the thing. You know, sometimes people do for us, we give God, give our friends some of the worst things, things we don't want ourselves. So him and Solomon, Hiram was a better man in this area than Solomon was, who's supposedly a child of God. Also during that time when Hiram when they had died, when Hiram had died, David had sent a convoy of people to show his respect and his condolences. The king of Tyre at that time, a youthful person, younger person, listening at the advisors around him, took and stripped David's men naked, cut off their pants at the waist, and shaved their beards and hair, and made a spectacle of them. That also helped divide them. So it's who you're dealing with. We have to be able to discern the characteristics of the people that we're dealing with, and whether they're honorable people or not. Jezebel was from Tyre. Queen Jezebel was from Tyre. Her father, Ethbaal, was one of the kings there, and Ahab married into that family. That's why I say you have to be careful who or what you marry. You bring these things into the church, and it becomes a dishonorable stronghold within the church of holding you back. That's the stronghold that it has in this nation. That's a device of Satan, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes. Through advertising, through things of this world, it has a stronghold in our lives. We need to have the Spirit of God to pull down those strongholds, because those strongholds determine who we are. Who we are. God's trying to shape us into children of God. He's molding and making us in His image. But these strongholds, these old vices from our old life, we're not fighting the proper fight, and we're losing, and we're still the same as we are when we came into the church, a lot of us. We still conduct with God the same way we conduct with the world. There's no conversion. There's no circumcision. So we are still the same. We're enemies of God. They were conquered by Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar is another character in this scene that we're going to use. For it was, he was named by name. He would be the conqueror of Tyre. He would be the one that put these people down. He's a type and shadow. They use Nebuchadnezzar as a type and shadow of Christ in here. In other words, Nebuchadnezzar was the King of Kings. Jesus Christ is the King of Kings. So it is Christ that's going to put the world down. It is Christ that would defeat the United States. It is Christ that defeated Tyre. And it was a type and shadow by Nebuchadnezzar. It says in verse 7, "For thus says the Lord God, Behold, I will bring from the north upon Tyre Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, a king of kings with horses and chariots and with horsemen and a whole host of many people." So he was the one that did the damage to Tyre. Tyre was on the coastline, and it was in the mainland, but after this destruction, after they was, this happened during the time, like they say, was destroying Jerusalem. But during that 70 years of captivity, the ones from Tyre that escaped moved off and formed a desert island, an island in which they conducted their merchandise with. This island wasn't what Nebuchadnezzar conquered. Nebuchadnezzar conquered the Tyrus that was tied to the mainland. Tyre came back and built this island. But that's to show you the preciseness of prophecy as we go along. We'll bring that up. But it wasn't just Nebuchadnezzar. And it's not just one thing that's tearing you down. God sends a multitude of nations of people against you. It's not going to be just your spouse. It may be your children also. That's why it says your enemies will be those of your own household. They want the things of this world. They want cables. They want the phone. They want all that's going on in the world that's helping destroy you. They love merchandise. They love the things of that. That's why you have to rise up spiritually and be strong and say, we can do without this. We don't need this. You have to seek God. Not that these things in themselves are wrong, but you've placed these things before God. You've placed these things before God, and they're robbing your spiritual life. The sword cuts those away, the Spirit of God. The anointing breaks the yoke and bondage of this world. So as many a nation came up against Tyre, different sorts of enemies, various enemies. Look at verse 3. It says, therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against you. You got a problem if God's against you. He says, O Tyre, and I will cause many nations to come up against you as the sea mounts up its waves. In other words, the sea is a symbol of a multitude of people, of different people groups. That's why I say sometimes look like your problems have problems. It's not that you're just feuding with this one person. You're feuding with everybody around you. See, that's why I say you need Christ in your life to be able to make those enemies be at peace with you. If your ways please the Lord, He'll make even your enemies be at peace with you. So if your problems are mounting up, you need to examine your spiritual life. That God is preparing you for a battle, or either you're walking in disobedience and God is chastening you. He had to chasten Solomon. He brought war into Solomon's life. He brought a denigration into Solomon's life because Solomon was walking contrary to God. When we walk contrary to God, He sent many different adversaries. He sent many different adversaries against Solomon. Look here in the 12th verse of Ezekiel. It says, and your adversaries shall make a spoil of your riches and make booty of your merchandise. And they shall break down your walls and destroy your pleasant houses. And they shall lay the stones and the timber and the very dust from your demolished city out in the midst of the water between the island and the mainland city's site to make a causeway. You notice that this changed from the king of Babylon to a personal pronoun, and now it's a group of people. You see, not only will he send your spouse to help tear you down, make you make bad decisions, make you not give the church, make you not give time to God. He'll send your children. He'll send your relatives or your parents or someone in to steal that time away from God. You'll start giving to them what you should be giving to God. He'll bring good television programs. He'll bring good things that time you should be reading and studying His Word. You give these to all these different adversaries that He's sending into your life. That's why we're going in this episode. I'm trying to go over pulling down strongholds. Strongholds are these things, these devices of Satan that he sets up in your life. It could be slumber. It could be not wanting to get out of the bed. It could be not wanting to witness for God. All these, and he hadn't given us a spirit of fear. That's why when these things start going on in your life, in examination, you can say, whoa, this is what I used to do. This is holding me back. We have to lay aside every weight and sin that's besetting us from running this race. The spiritual life is not easy. No matter how many televangelists and things tell you how easy it is to serve the Lord, it's not easy. It calls for self-sacrifice. It calls for self-denial. It's a cause for going against everything that you know and believe. It's abandoning of self and adopting somebody else's, adopting the principles and oracles of God. Displacing everything that you used to be, emptying yourself and taking everything into you that's of Jesus Christ. After Babylon, it destroyed, it was Alexander the Great who took that island city I was telling you about, the island that they had turned into. It was Alexander the Great that took that island. But he didn't completely destroy Tyre. The complete destruction came at the Saracens' hands in 1291 A.D. The Saracens was a group of the Muslims, of Islam. It was a different group that goes all the way back to the children of Ham. Like I say, the world is about a kindred nation. In other words, we all kin to one another. And that's why God says, I am one, all of us belong to one Father. If you search back all throughout life, you'll see that you're kin to someone, that we all come from one parent group. That was Adam and Eve. It ties in. And now the world, Satan has built up these devices where you hate your own people because maybe the color has changed. Maybe you darker. Maybe you have white skin. Maybe you have different type eyes or different coarseness. But no matter what race, creed, religion, origin, we all come from one set of parents. That's Adam and Eve. We all children of God. So if you hate man, there's no way you can love God, because he that hated his brother cannot love God. The love of God has not been shed abroad in your heart. So these divisions have to go. If you can't make it personal. Can't be personal. Why? Why is another point? Why the destruction of Tyre? Because they were laughing and they were happy at the calamity of Israel, and they wanted what Israel had. Israel was charging a tax on the people that were going to Tyre. To get to Tyre, they had to come through Israel. The world hates God's people because God's people are tithing to God. They're establishing the kingdom of God, which takes away from the kingdom of the world. When you establish it, don't pay God's tithes, don't give time to God. You have to give that time to someone else. And that time is for Satan. You cannot serve two masters. So what happens is they were laughing at him. I started reading that. It starts from the first verse of the 26th chapter, in that 26th chapter. And in the 11th year, on the first day of the month, after carrying away King Jehoiachin, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, because Tyre had said against Jerusalem, Aha, she is broken that has been the gate of the people. She is open to me, Tyre. I shall become full now that she is desolate and a wasteland, and they shall destroy the walls of Tyre and break down her towers, because they laughed at another's calamity. During this presidential election, I'm looking at it because I don't have a dog in this fight. In other words, whoever becomes president, that doesn't matter to me. The Bible is what matters to me. We're just pilgrims here. We're sojourning here. Now, it may make a big difference in the world, circumstances in the situations. So I'm looking at, you have to follow secular events in world history to be able to serve God properly. You have to know what side, what type of people you are. And I can see this injected in bringing out, we can see why the calamity has to come upon this nation. We see why. If you look at politics, if you look at the things around you, you look at the people in your community, you see why this nation has to be judged. There's no ifs and ands about it. It was like I was telling my wife coming up this morning. You can look at your children and what they're doing or whatever, and you see why a lot of things come into their lives. The things happen to people because people won't listen to God. And we have to be people of God, and we have to be so in tune with God that we start speaking what God speaks and saying what God says, and let the chips fall where they may. See, if not, there's a stronghold in your life, anxiety or form, worry about form of the calamities that's coming up on this earth. All those things have come in because Satan has set up a stronghold in your life. You need to listen to that sermon. Those that wasn't here Wednesday, we really need to listen at Wednesday's message. Because Satan comes up and set that stronghold up in your life. You can't get past that stronghold. That's a fortified place. The only thing that can help you there is that the anointing is what breaks the yoke. The anointing, that's the only thing that can set you free from that bondage. But it comes from doing as the people, and nobody in this election from that Republican or Democratic side. Now, the only one I hadn't heard smear the other one was Bernie Sanders. I don't think I've heard him talk negative of anyone else in the race. But I think it would be a long shot to say he would be president. It would be so calamitous if he would became president. That would be a calamity, a catastrophe within itself. But he's not using those devices that the others are using. As I said, the what? In other words, the substance of the discernment of what? And he says, I tell you that became enemies of Israel. Those that was once your friends. There's a lot of people that once went to church with you, or around you, or once grew up with you, have become your enemies. Y'all have become divided. A lot of times you get into different religions, you have a loss of friendship. You have a loss of what's going on. Even though they weren't warrior peoples during the time of Israel's calamity, if you read in the book of Amos, Tyre delivered the fleeing refugees, just like you have the people fleeing out of Syria now, going to Turkey, which was where the church of Ephesians was, and not treating the refugees right. Here's a person running from death, running from danger. You won't even give him shelter or cover. These people seeing Israel being destroyed, instead of helping them, instead of helping someone during the time of calamity, we laugh. We say that's been our enemy. Well, God's telling you, if your enemy needs water, if they need something, need feed, or do these things. So, it says in Amos 1 and 9, thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Tyre, and for four, I will not revoke the punishment, because they delivered up an entire deportation to Edom, and did not remember the covenant of kinship. So I will send a fire against the wall of Tyre, and it will devour its fortresses. Therein again, that's a type. I told you, you see that fire is a different word for judgment. When fire judges, in other words, going through the fire, putting it through the fire, God's doing this. God's bringing this judgment upon them for their actions. And he's going to destroy the fortress, their stronghold. That's what this presidential contender keeps talking about, making America strong, making it the merchandising nation that it should be. We should go in and pound ISIS. We should kill these people, bomb them, and take the oil. Now, hold on now. You throw the whole conversation off when you say bomb them and take the oil. Is the oil yours to take? In other words, you want to kill and destroy these people for something that's a wealth or something to prosper you. Now, he's already fighting with the Koch brothers or whatever, the largest oil, some of the largest oil people in the world today. But it's all about merchandise. The devil's going to destroy themselves. Satan's kingdom cannot survive because his kingdom is divided against itself. It's divided against itself. So they went in and spoiled or contaminated someone else's goods. In the book of Joel, the third chapter, the fifth and the sixth verse, it says, you have taken my silver and gold and all my precious treasures and have carried them off to your pagan temples. You have sold the people of Judah and Jerusalem to the Greeks so they can take them far from your homeland. You know, a lot of the money that we give to our children, grandchildren, to wives, husbands, whoever they may be, they take that money and pay tithes and offerings to their church, bring their presence to their church, building up their God. And see, that's why I say, in the midst of those kingdoms, God's blessing you. You, in turn, instead of returning that to God as a channel to be used for God, you're giving it to people that's using it for ungodly purposes. That's feeding or supplying the devil. So, and you robbing God to help someone that you think personally are yours because nepotism, in other words, they're kidding me, that's my children, that's my spouse, that's my parents, that's my friend. That's, in other words, you rob God to help those that hate God. And that's what Tyre was doing. They were taking God's stuff. Ahab, a child of God, supposedly the king of Israel, married this woman from Tyre, and she went in and caused more evil in Israel and brought in false gods. Here's Solomon, supposedly one of the wisest men that ever lived. He built gods to Chemosh, to Ashtoreth, to Molech, to all these foreign gods with the money God had given them. We have to be wise stewards of the resources God gives to us. They make us tyrannians. So it was, I said, Nebuchadnezzar who brought that judgment upon the people of Tyre. the 8th through the 9th verse. He says, he shall slay with the sword your daughters. In other words, your communities and cities. This city has to go. I've seen so much wickedness in Baton Rouge. I've seen so much wickedness in the cities around in this state. This state has become a very evil state, and the governor is trying to spread this throughout the nation because he wants you to be the governor to take this wickedness that he's been fostered in this state to spread it throughout the whole nation. These things spread. She says, the individuals in the level area, and he shall make a fortified wall against you and cast up a siege mount against you and raise up a roof of bucklers and shields as a defense against you. And he shall set his battering engines in shock against your walls, and with his axes he will break down your towers. The hooves of his horses will choke the city with dust, and the noise of the charioteers and chariots' wheels will shake your walls as they storm through your broken gates. His horsemen will trample through every street in the city. They will butcher your people, and your strong pillars will topple. Those same people whose oil that they're trying to take or whatever, the market's being flooded with oil now. Demand is not exceeding supply. In other words, that which you're going at, that which he's talking about, Giddy, they're allowing you to be choked with that very thing. The thing that you're greedy for is choking the nation. And that's why Louisiana is where it's at now. The stock market took a giant tumble yesterday, fell 500 some points because of the price of oil was down to $40 a barrel. If they want your benefit, I remember Michelle Bachmann was one of the ones that said she can get gas down to $2 a gallon to elect her. That the irony of that situation is that gas is right at $2 a gallon now, but you see how it's hurting you, right? During the administration of President Obama, he didn't do anything to affect this because, as he said, and as some of the moderators and some of the media were saying, it's not the president that should be able to affect the price of oil. But see, now that same thing that you were talking about, it's coming up on us. Gas is $2.17, $2.19 a gallon right here in the city right now. But it's crippling the state. For every drop in the price of oil, that budget that they cobbled together in June, we're going to be in the red. They got to go back. They failed $700 million short in the last few weeks, and now it's going to have layoffs and everything. Be careful, that which you speak of shall come upon you. If we can't see the judgment that's coming, we're blind and have not the Spirit of God. The effects of Tyre's fall, the prince of the seas. This is what the sovereign Lord says to Tyre. The whole coastline will tremble at the sound of your fall, as the screams of the wounded echo in the continuing slaughter. All the seaports rulers will step down from their thrones and take off their raw robes and beautiful clothing. They will sit on the ground and tremble with horror at your destruction. Then they will wail for you, singing this funeral song. And it goes on. This is from the book of Isaiah, the 15th chapter through the 18th verse, I think. No, this is from where we at here in Tyre. But this is the effect it's having. All throughout the nation, when Greek, the budget fell over there, and they had to rescue the Greek economy, that caused ripples in our stock market because we have a global economy now. When China devalued their currency, it had a ripple effect here because China's trying to manipulate their currency to try to advance and feed their people, because for years they suppressed their people, wouldn't allow them to have more than one child, and used unhumanitarian practices. So God judges the nation, the world, as he told Jeremiah. God's going to judge the world, and if he judged the world, where shall we be? The righteous shall scarcely make it. So we can't avoid the destruction that's coming, but we should be being lights for God so that we'll last, and God will keep using us, because once you're not doing what God called you to do, it's no use for you being here. He can take you out of the world at that time, because you're just like a tree that being unfruitful. It's better that he take you on home than for you to lose your salvation. That's why he moves some of us out of the way, because we're no longer being of use for God. He cursed the tree and he said, it's now no longer good for fruit. It's encumbering the ground. Sometimes if we're not being useful, we're just in the way. Get out of the way so somebody can work that's going to work. If you're not going to do something for God, if you're not going to be fully committed to God, move out of the way. Jesus cleansed the temple. Judgment starts at the house of God. Stop playing with God. Don't come in the house of God not fully committed to God. Give your life to God, or either go back and think about it till you get ready to give your life to God. And it may be too late. The day is the day of salvation. It has major effects. So there's judgment for the unbelievers. There's judgment upon them, just as he was judging Tyre. They had a effect on Jesus' ministry. Listen to Jesus here. In the book of Matthew, the 11th chapter, judgment upon the unbelievers. And this is the church. This is the church now he's talking about. He says, then Jesus began to denounce the towns where he had done so many miracles. The very people he had fed, the very people where he had preached at, he began to denounce them. He said, because they hadn't repented of their sins and turned to God. They were still living the same way that they had been living. The miracles didn't change them. Feeding them didn't change them. Preaching to them didn't change. So many people are hard-hearted today. Preaching don't change. It don't change you at all. You're still the same as you was. He says, what sorrow awaits you, O Chorazin and Bethsaida? For if the miracles I did in you had been done in wicked Tyre and Sidon, their people would have repented of their sins long ago, clothing themselves in burlap and throwing ashes on their heads to show their remorse. I tell you, Tyre and Sidon will be better off than you in the day of judgment. Now, he's saying what he did to Tyre, and you know, see how bad what he did to Tyre. He says that they will be better off than the people he was preaching to at that time. It's people that in the church right now, Sodom and Gomorrah will fare much better than you will. You better examine your life. Are you working for God, or will those communities that he destroyed in the Old Testament fare better than you? He says, and you people of Capernaum. Now, he raised many at the Capernaum. That's where he raised the dead. That's where he fed the thousands, the multitude. He says, will you be honored in heaven? No, you will go down to the place of the dead. For if the miracles I did for you had been done in wicked Sodom, it would still be here today. I tell you, even Sodom will be better off in judgment than you. That's in the church. Some of us won't fare as good as Sodom and Gomorrah did. We're always talking about Sodom and Gomorrah. Or you're a sodomite or whatever. Sodomites can be saved. Anybody that turned to God and worked the works of God can and will be saved. But if you hold on to who you are, what you are, and in conclusion, you won't be saved. So it took 300 years, you know, before they met their disaster. Sometimes it takes a lifetime to where we come to. Nebuchadnezzar worked on them for 13 years. It took him 13 years besieging them, besieging that city. Ezekiel, the 29th chapter, 17th verse is where we hear about this. I tell you, the next three chapters was on this. We'll see the completion. But he says, in the 27th year, in the first month, on the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, son of man, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, caused his army to labor hard against Tyre. Every head was made bald and every shoulder was peeled. Yet he and his army had no wages from Tyre for the labor that he had done against it. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, I will give the land of Egypt to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and he shall carry off her wealth and take her spoil and take her prey. And it shall be his wages for his army. I have given him the land of Egypt for his labor with which he served against Tyre, because they did it for me, says the Lord God. On that day I will cause the horn of the house of Israel to spring forth. In other words, Nebuchadnezzar, he wasn't as smart as the Tyranians were. Like I said, they took their finances and their wealth. They fled on ships. They fled with a lot of their merchandise. For 13 years, just like with the church, some smaller churches, some churches are laboring for God, destroying the forces of this world. For 13 years, Nebuchadnezzar didn't get hardly anything out of it. Nothing to pay his soldiers. Nothing. But God says, you know what? That's what I tell y'all. If you work for God, God's going to pay you. God pays his debts. If you give to God, you can't beat God giving. So he says, Nebuchadnezzar did all this for me in my name. I put that thought in his mind. I tell you what, I'm going to give him the country of Egypt. I'm going to give him all the wealth that's in Egypt. Today, Egypt is a barren country. It's a base country. But God gave Nebuchadnezzar the riches of Egypt because he didn't get the plunder away from Tyre. But he destroyed that mainland. And I told you, it was Alexander who destroyed the coastline. I mean, destroyed the island of Tyre. But let's see what happened there. It's verse 4, 5 and 14. And they shall destroy the walls of Tyre and break down her towers. I will also scrape her dust from her and make her bare like the top of a rock. Her islands in the midst of the sea shall become a place for the spreading of nets. For I have spoken it, says the Lord God. And she shall become a prey and a spoil to the nations. And I will make you Tyre a bare rock. You shall be a place upon which to spread nets. You shall never be rebuilt, for the Lord hath spoken it, says the Lord God. God's word comes true. Nebuchadnezzar tore down. It's just rocks. It's just like the ruins you see in Rome. All those big colossal statues and pillars and things that's laying all over the place after 13 years. People say, oh, during that time, you see, Bible prophecy wasn't fulfilled. And God said it was the scraping bears a rock or whatever. Wait on God, though. God doesn't pay everybody on Friday. He paid that Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar didn't get all what he wanted to get out of the city, but he paid him. Some 300 years later, Alexander the Great come in. Alexander was a conqueror of conquerors. Alexander, look at all the ruins and all this stuff. That tower is on the island in the midst of the sea. You know, sometimes you run, but you know you can't hide from God. You can run, but you can't hide. All your life, you've been dodging trying to be in the church. God's going to send somebody after you. He's going to send them with lights and hooks and fish and get you. You can't hide from God. Alexander, look at all those ruins and everything. Alexander had thousands and legions of men with him. And in 7 months, he was one of the smartest conquerors it was. It was Alexander, they say, cried because he had no more kingdoms to conquer. Alexander told his men, let's build devices and things. Get all these pillars, get all this trash, and put it in the ocean. They took all the pillars, all those rocks, all those monuments that Tyre had, that Nebuchadnezzar had destroyed and knocked down the walls of it. They scraped the ground clean, just like he said. He scraped it like you're scraping a rock ball, and he took all that trash and rubble, and he threw it in the ocean. He built a causeway out to that island. They was able to walk out to that island, but all this trash, they took it and threw it in the ocean, and they walked up and said, now we got you. Now we got you. And Alexander took that island by taking that rubble and trash and scraping that rock, just like the Word of God said. The Word of God is true. It's going to take some time for it to come true, but they scraped Tyre as one scrapes a rock. It was bald. And you know, I don't know if a lot of y'all went fishing. Mr. Luther, I know you do a lot of fishing or whatever. You fish around an old log or some stuff that's in the water. Fish tend to go around stuff that's in the water. And that's why they spread. If you go to Tyre nowadays, you'll still see them fishing around there. You still see them fishing in there. It was never rebuilt. Sidon is there, but Tyre was destroyed. God's word was fulfilled. Materially, the Muslims came in, the group of Muslims, Sarsians, there was a division of the Muslims. Just like you have today, there are Muslims, and that's one of the growing religions that it is. But it's going to punish the unbelievers today. So you need to get in God, because you're running around here camouflaging, saying you're a Christian. It's going to come a time when God's going to send that evil man and to test your spirituality, to see who you say you are. He's going to send that evil man in there to see, can you take the time of Jacob's trouble? He's going to see who you are. So you need to repent. Repentance is an act. We need to see that. Jesus saw that. He preached. He was preaching at the crowd. And just like I'm preaching today, just like God preaches preaching today, he always throws a lifeline. That's what I say. Woe unto you, Sirah. Or will Jesus save you? Now, Jesus can save you to the uttermost. Up comes Jesus, come in and preach you. Mark, the third chapter. Jesus withdrew his disciples to the sea, and a great crowd followed him from Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem and Idumea and from beyond the Jordan. That's where Edom was, is Idumea. And all those from Tyre and Sidon, a great crowd, when they heard the things he did, came to him. He told his disciples to have a small boat ready for him because of the crowd, lest they should crush him, for he had healed many, so that all who had disease pressed on him to touch him. When unclean spirits saw him, they fell down before him, crying out, "You are the Son of God." See, Jesus preached the gospel. Just like I said, in a missionary effort, if we preach the gospel, all those are the gods. All those in Tyre and Sidon, these little villages I told you were fishing ports now, they heard the true word of God. They turned to Christ. It was a Gentile woman that he sent Elijah to in that day to be healed. See, there are a lot of people within every race, within every nation, within every religious group. All of them ain't like that group. It's got some people within there for hearts of God. That's why I say some Tyranians would be just like Hiram. They'll be saved. They'll know the truth. See, that's why we go out and preach and teach the gospel. That's why we have a missionary effort so people can hear and say, "Oh man, I'm glad of this doctrine. God has sent his word." And that word, no matter where you are, no matter who you are, if God had put his word in you, and when you hear the word preached, he'll birth you again. He'll cause you to run after. So that's why we have to continue to preach the gospel. We can't judge people and say, "Oh, he's an Ammonite. He's a Moabite. He can't be saved. He's a Philistine." We're to preach the gospel to all men and let God do the same. He saves such of those that should be saved. In the book of Acts, we see where he came to people that were disciples. In the book of Acts, the 21st chapter, the 3rd through the 6th verse says, "After saying farewell to the Ephesian elders, we sailed straight to the island of Kos. The next day we reached Rhodes and then went to Patara. There we boarded a ship that was sailing for where? Phoenicia." That's the Apostle Paul. He's going to Phoenicia. He's going to Tyre. We sighted the island of Cyprus, passed it on our left, and landed at the harbor of Tyre in Syria. Right away where they're fighting today. God has people fighting in Syria. That's godly people. My pharmacist, she's from Syria. She has land and has people over there, and she'd be crying and talking to me a lot of times, and they do well and mourn in that way. She said, "But Mr. Emerson, you know, I knew it was something different about you, and I didn't know, but then when I started talking to you and everything, and I see God's with you." And she'd be telling them about her people over there and her problems and everything. She's a child of God. We never knew where God, when he scatters. You remember the sermon I said, God scatters? God scatters the people, but he gathers them back together. Beware of mistreating strangers, because some have entertained angels unaware. Be careful of the people that you don't know. Be careful of how you treat people, because they could be a child of God. Be careful. Be very careful. He says, We landed in the harbor of Tyre in Syria, where the ship was to unload his cargo. We went ashore and found local believers. He's in Tyre. He said he found people in Tyre that were local believers and stayed with them a week. I think during that week, Paul preached to them. Paul taught them. You couldn't be around the Apostle Paul. If he was in jail, he was going to preach the word of God to you. Are you like that? Are you rejoicing to be around believers? He was there a whole week. He said these believers prophesied through the Holy Spirit. So they were born again. They prophesied to Paul through the Holy Spirit they should not go to Jerusalem. When we returned to the ship at the end of the week, the entire congregation, including women and children, left the city and came down to the shore with us. There we knelt and prayed and said our farewells. Then we went abroad and they returned home. True believers, wherever you go. I was in San Antonio on one of our vacations. On one of our vacations, me and my wife, we went down there on an anniversary, and there was this Hispanic man and his family, large family, and they're sitting there at Mont Pearls or something with this big, large hamburger, and I was looking at it, and he started talking to me and everything. I said, I wish my son could see that hamburger. I'm going to order one. And he said, well, I tell you what, come in. Sit down here. Made his son get up. I sat there. I got the picture in my phone right now. Sit down, took a picture with the hamburger. Me and him talked and ate and everything. It's how you treat people. Can you talk to somebody and become like family within them in a few minutes? That they told me and said, well, look, made his son get up from where he was sitting and eating and let me sit there to the burger at the table. You see, those are God's people. You take chances. You don't be whole and shoal and shy away from people in that. The earth and the fullness thereof is your Father. So what are you afraid of? He hadn't given you a spirit of fear. Take a chance. Show people who you are and who you serve. You be that light. You don't know what kind of repentance it would bring. Hopefully he took away the same impression of me that I took away of him. Both of us went away glorifying God. It wasn't about me. It's about God. Let everything you do be about God. We have to find somewhere in this. Yes, I'll keep going all day. We'll end this with one woman. They say Jesus called her a dog. This was a Gentile woman. A Canaanite. I hear people talk about the Canaanites. This was a Canaanite. And they say Jesus talked about her dog. You know what? She was a Tyrian. She was from Tyre. That's where Canaanites came from. A Gentile woman. I tell you, this was always for the Gentile. It's in Matthew, the 15th chapter of Matthew, the 21st through the 28th verse. This could be us, right? He said, then Jesus went from there and departed into the region of Tyre and Sidon. There a woman of Canaan came out to the same region and cried out to him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely possessed by a demon. But he did not answer. He just turned around. He was doing something else. He didn't answer. If God don't answer you, keep talking to him. Keep coming and praying to him. Just keep on pressing. And his disciples came and begged him, said, look, send her away, for she cries after us. Get her away. Watch the people around you. They're going to try to get you away from the blessing. But he answered to her, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. Then she came and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered, it is not fair to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. That's some analogy there. A lot of people say, oh, look, you know, these people that's not God-fearing people say, look, he called a dog. He said, don't throw the bread and give it to the dogs. But she said, listen at her now. She was studied up in the Word of God. This is the one that said her daughter was demon possessed. If you're in the midst of a bunch of demons, if people in that Republican Party, they see the others for what they are, if you follow the truth and love the truth, God will keep pushing that evil out of you. He'll keep pushing. You have to be persistent, though. If you see it in you, you have to be persistent to get it out of you. Paul said he's seen that thing within his members. He was struggling because sin is in us. That's the biggest enemy is self. We have to keep killing self. And she said, yes, Lord, but yet even the dogs eat of the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Even if you got a dog around the house, he will keep looking to that last crumb drop. I had a dog rocking, and I'd be sitting there cooking or doing something. That dog will be looking at you. He will be looking at you until that last one. If you throw him that scrap, he will dive on it because he's looking. Even the dogs, you will have sympathy on that dog. She knew that if this was the master. She says, even the dogs eat from the master's table. Then Jesus answered her, "Oh woman, great is your faith. Great is your faith. Let it be done unto you as you desire." And her daughter was healed from that self same hour. Now look at the conversation. He didn't give in to it at first. But she struggled and she persisted. And she did like Jacob. Jacob wrestled with God all night long. Have you been wrestling in prayer and studying the word of God? He said she had great faith. He didn't just say she had faith. She was like the centurion woman that Jesus said, "I have not seen so great a faith in all of Israel." You see, sometimes it's just like your wife or your children. They waiting for you to give them something because I'm your wife. I deserve this. Your children think they deserve it. See, we don't deserve anything with God. We can't tell nobody we deserve anything. God is gracious. We look for the gifts of God. God freely gives to us. But he got to see that we're deserving. That his mercy, that he bestows this upon us because he wants to. Not because we qualify for it. Not because we qualify. Israel wasn't any better than anybody else. It's just that God had chose them. You're not any better than anybody else. It's just that God chose you. That's what you need to be proud of. God chose you. And if God chose you, don't look down on that other person. Don't look down and don't talk down. Pray for him. Pray for him that you be called a child of God. You pray for him. So is God going to destroy you like Tyre? Or is Jesus going to save you? God is a judging hand, but Jesus is the Savior. Jesus is the Savior. The choice is yours. Are you going to persist and tug at Jesus? Pray on, come unto me, he said. I'll save you. Lay your burden down. Even though the word's been spoken, he had died. He gave his life to remove that handwriting of ordinances that was against us. He had made the way. Just like it was against us, it was against Tyre. And we see where the people of Tyre was, some of them became believers. Because Jesus died for them too. He died that all men may be saved. He didn't exclude that. He didn't say he died for the Jews. That was his divorcement of the Jews. But he died that as many as shall believe on him shall have eternal life. Heavenly Father, as we come before you this day, Lord God, strengthen us in your word and in your way, Lord God.